Blog. Welcome to the Pet Psychic Radio Show, hosted by Pet Psychic Laura Finchfield. And I'm Aiku Sahara, show producer, waiting to answer your phone calls at 917-889-2693. That's 917-889-2693. You can join us in the chat room located on the homepage of blogtalkradio.com, or you can just go to the blogtalkradio.com/thepetpsychic.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Pet Psychic Radio this week.
Welcome. I don't know if anyone noticed that I accidentally pressed the song again.
Yeah, we noticed.
Okay.
I kind of like it, you know. I'm, we get to hear it again.
I'm in Oxnard today, so I'm a little bit out of my element. I'm in a hotel room.
And I is standing for the whole whole episode.
Yeah. For some reason, the internet connection is not near a desk, so I'm having to stand at a ledge with my whole computer system and mic set up.
And man the callers.
Yeah. But, yeah, so I'm in Oxnard today because I'm going to school this weekend in Santa Barbara or Carpinteria, so I just came a little bit early up here.
But you didn't bring a pet with you, did you?
No, no pets. They're Rosa's at home with John, my husband. Yeah, what are you up to this week?
Oh, you know, I've been up to a lot. But one of the things that I did this week is I spoke to some Asian elephants.
Whoa.
That reside in the United States, and they were trained circus elephants and elephants for the movies.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, these organizations, you know, they all say that they train humanely, and I don't always necessarily believe it because exotic animal training is so behind, you know, domesticated animals or companion animals in the training world. So that have trunks for travel, you know, that Thai, he's that elephant that was in the movie, what is the name of the movie?
I know what you're talking about, and I can't remember.
I don't know why I can't remember it now. But anyway, this elephant, there was all this hype about this elephant and how there was this footage, and it's on, I actually posted it on my website, of them abusing this elephant and doing all this treatment. So I went around and I tried to find some elephants that reside in the United States, and I spoke to six of them who have been trained. And I can't say where they were trained because these people could come after me, but they definitely aren't in the United States. And I was mortified about how these elephants are treated. It was so sad. Like, they were talking about being shocked, and they take these, like, electrical shocks, and they shock them in their eardrum and in their genitals.
Oh.
Yeah, and these websites of these organizations say that these elephants get to be put out, you know, with each other, and they get to roam, and they don't. They're chained the whole time. And, when I search for those things, I want these elephants to be treated well. Like, I want to hear that they're loved and that they're taken care of and that they feel like they're in a good place, but they don't. And it was really sad. And what got me the most is, like, what they were saying is they were like, we feel, because of all of this footage that's going around the United States, they were all over the world. These elephants can feel like this mass consciousness about people, you know, really caring about them. But, like, one of the elephants said, like, but where are they? Why are they not here? Like,
right.
He's like, I know these people are speaking, or she, I know these people are speaking out for us, but where are they? Why are they not here? And it's like, why aren't we doing anything about this? It's really frustrating. It's frustrating for me in my work because I love these animals so much, but it's been such a huge struggle to get people to, like, really believe in what I do because yeah. I would love someone like PETA or the Humane Society or somebody to back me and kind of help me kind of get the message out.
Right, yeah, totally.
It's been frustrating. It's so frustrating because I'm like, who am I speaking to when I write these things? I'm like, does anybody hear me?
Is this in your newsletter, your new newsletter?
Yeah, it was in my new newsletter, mm-hmm. and it's also on my blog, the homepage of my blog, which is thepetpsychic.com blog/blog. But you can find it by going to thepetpsychic.com and then going to the blog tag.
Cool. So it has the whole interview with the pets.
It has the whole interview. Yeah, and it shows the footage of what they're doing to the elephants.
Oh, my gosh. It's so horrible.
I
know.
So
it'd be great
terrible.
If, like, PETA could back you up. I mean, you guys are both, you know, in
yeah.
all the same cause, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I need to get in that door. So if anyone knows anyone from PETA, please hook me up.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it would just be the best for all animals, so mm-hmm. it would be a good thing.
And what they have to say is so powerful.
Definitely, definitely. Well, actually, this leads to my question for you. What is your most, like, uplifting psychic experience where you were glad or grateful to have the ability?
Oh, I mean, every day I'm glad and grateful to have the ability because they are, like, constantly making me laugh, you know,
mm-hmm.
like, they're constantly saying something. But, like, what was the most, like, uplifting?
Yeah.
You know,
or, like, powerful.
These monks, I met some monks once at a Dalai Lama convention, it was a teaching. And I was telling these monks about what I do, and they were like, oh, we have a problem. And their temple was in India, and they're like, we have this problem. We have this gigantic snake that's coming into the temple. And we don't know why he's coming in, and people are scared, and they don't want to come back anymore. And so we're, like, saying prayers, and we're, like, trying to get this snake to reside somewhere else. But it won't. I forget what kind of snake it was, but it was, like, 20 feet long, and it was, like, one of those really thick ones.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, you know, I'll help you, you know, do that. I'll help you with that. And so I spoke to the snake and I told the you know, I was explaining to the snake about, like, that he's, like, scaring people and he says, oh, you know, I love being in there because I love that everyone is, like, chanting and praying and I love that they're doing it for me. So, like, he knew that they were, like, chanting and praying for him, but he didn't realize
right.
they were trying to get him to leave. And I said, well, what, you know, like, what do we need to do for you? And he was like, well, like, there's this hill. I could reside down by this hill and this stone wall. If they come every day and, like, hang, he wanted flags and he wanted, I say it's a he, but I don't know if it was a he or she. And I want, like, them to still come and pray and do rituals for me. So the monks all were like, oh, we can do that, you know?
Yeah.
And so they did. And the snake has never been back in the temple.
Oh, my
and
God.
I think that's so amazing because a lot of Buddhists don't really believe in, they believe that animals have, like, a soul, but they don't really believe that animals have, like, a consciousness.
Yeah.
Like, they don't really believe that they can, like, think and reason. And so to me, that was, like, a really powerful experience. They also asked me
so
that.
Cool.
Yeah, they also asked me to ask this yak, like, why this yak was, like, it was, like, really aggressive, and it was, like, biting and kicking, and they had to, like, put it out in the field all by himself. And they wanted me to ask him why he was doing that, and, like, if there's any way that he could, like, be reintegrated.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that his pack was, like, squeezing, like, his groin area, because when they travel with them, they put these, like, packs on that. And he said it was, like, the strap was, like, really digging into his groin area. It was really painful.
Mm-hmm.
So they said they would change it. I don't know how they changed it, but they did, and now he's good.
Wow.
So, I know, those are pretty neat, I think.
That's so cool.
Yeah. I thought so. It's like when my work goes all the way around the world.
I
so.
Know. Are you still in touch with these monks?
Mm-mm. No. I mean, No, I haven't been, but, you know, I have their email, so I can be.
That's cool. That's so cool.
Yeah.
I love it. And how's the new dog doing? How's Luca?
Little Luca is doing good. He's like a little terror, but he's good. He's, you know, everyone who meets him, you know how he's like Maya reincarnated? My old wolf dog reincarnated. And everyone who meets him always says, like, gosh, he looks older than 7 months because he's so good. Like, he comes when he's called and, you know, he knows weight in and out of the Jeep. And he's just a really, really good boy. And but it's interesting because, you know, when I look at him, I don't really necessarily think, like, he's Maya. Like, I don't say, like, oh, that's Maya. I mean, Maya was this, like, gigantic wolf dog and he's like this little poodle. But what's really interesting is he has this, like, really, this fear about people.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, like, well, people will go to pat him, and he'll kind of, like run away. And he does the same thing Maya sort of did, is, like, he'll kind of, like, run towards him and then kind of run back. But Maya sometimes would bite, you know. And, but he doesn't bite. But the gardeners were over, and I really wanted him to be friends with the gardeners. They're, like, good people, and... So I went to go pick him up, and he kind of, like, snapped at me and grabbed my hand really hard, but he was, like, he kind of bit me, and he kind of bit me hard, but it was completely out of fear. It wasn't out of, like, aggression at all, like, and I
right.
wouldn't even call it, like, aggression. But I thought, gosh, what was that all about? And I was like, Maya, you have to let me know what this is about. Like, you have to, like, help me with this. And that night I had this dream that Maya came to me, and she was showing me. She went through, like, all the periods in her life with me about how she was so frightened with people and how, like, it was so hard to be able to get over that. And wolves, by nature, are more timid of people. And then you add a German Shepherd to it, and so you get, like, timid and aggressive. But it was really interesting in the dream. She showed me all these times where, like, she wanted to bite, and she did it because I was there. And she also, in the dream, she was growling. Maya, probably the whole entire time I had her, which was like 13 or 14 years, she only growled twice. She went from not feeling comfortable to a bite really fast. She never did any type of warning, and the only time she growled is when, one, I was talking to somebody about some man, and she started growling like she didn't like the man, and the other time is when some guy was on my ranch, and she kind of gotten between me and the man and growled. So, like, but usually she didn't growl. And so then it was, like, really Maya saying, like, this was my hardest lesson in life, is, like, really feeling comfortable with people. And so now that's sort of what Luca brought back.
Wow. Yeah, that's really interesting. Now, does Luca have any sort of awareness about being Maya reincarnated?
Not really. Like, I say to him, you know, you were like a wolf dog. And he was like, I kind of feel it, but, you know, he doesn't really. But what's interesting about it is that I've spoken to Maya about that. And Maya says that there's, like, that the soul has different, like, fragments. And that who Maya was, like, still has this consciousness. And, like, and Luca is, like, a different fragment of her overall being.
Right.
And Maya's consciousness is not necessarily fully integrating in Luca yet because she doesn't want to bring back all that imprint into Luca. But that's not the same with all of them, because I was speaking to another puppy that was another client's, like, reincarnated pet. And that one, that puppy said, I know who I am. And he Rex is the other dog's name, the one that passed over, is right next to me all the time. So it's like, with that relationship, Rex is a really stable dog in his lifetime, so he's, like, closer and can integrate sooner than Maya can, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, totally.
So,
that,
like, Luca will remember, but later on, I think.
Yeah. And Luca's still so young.
He's 7 months, but he's interesting. I mean, it's like he knows things already. Like I, you know, I was a dog trainer for 15 years. I've taught hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dogs weight, like, on the porch. Luca, it's like instantly he knows it.
Wow.
So it's like, and then he has to wait before he gets out of the Jeep. You know, instantly he like gets it. He's really good. And like Calm is like perfect. You know, I'm like, there's none of this like having to train a 7-month-old puppy.
That's amazing.
I know.
Wow. Well, that's really cool. Should we take some calls?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, let's see who's on. Hey, you're on the air on the Pet Psychic Radio Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Oh,
hi.
Good. Hi. My name is Allison.
Hi, Allison.
Hi. You know what? I want to talk to you about a great dog named Shuggy, but first, before I do, I have to thank you so incredibly much for talking about the elephants. It's what I spend most of my non-work time doing, and what I want to tell you is we are here, and we are working for them. We are working to get them out of entertainment. We are working to get them out of situations of abuse. And I am the person who can hook you up with the people from PETA. And
oh, my gosh, really?
Yes, yes. I am the person who can hook you up with all of us who are working to get them out of these terrible situations. So I need to have a way to contact you by email so that I can get you in touch with the people. I can link you, basically.
Great, Allison. I would love that.
Yes, me too. This is fantastic. We are right in the middle of trying to get elephants to not have to give elephant rides at the zoo in Santa Ana or at the fair in Orange County or at the fair in L.A. because all of those elephants are trained the same way. Ty is one of them.
Oh, if there's anything I can do, you know, anything at all.
Oh, there's plenty you can do. We need to have access to you. What you can do is with your voice, and so we need to have access to you.
Okay, so you can reach me by my website, which is thepetpsychic.com.
And, okay, I know your maybe website.
And maybe hold on to, and I can get your contact information.
Perfect.
after
great.
We talk to. Is it Shuggy or?
It's Shuggy, yes. I want to talk about Shuggy.
Okay.
Shuggy is such a wonderful girl. She was found sitting by the side of the road in a more rural part of the Inland Empire. She was so emaciated she couldn't even stand up. She was very, very starved. Some nice ladies stopped and picked her up, and one thing led to another, and she got to me, and I took her to my vet, which is where she is now. She has flourished there. She's gotten healthy. She got spayed. She got her shots. The vet staff just love her. They interact with her daily, and she's completely bonded with them, and she's learning how to act like a puppy. She's about 1 year old.
What does she look like?
Okay. She's a black pit bull. She's small. She's about 40 pounds, and she really desperately wants a home.
And so what would you like to ask her or tell her?
What we can do for her to find her perfect, loving, permanent home.
Okay. Okay, let me get her. She said to tell people that she's a little shy but full of love. Is she a little shy?
Yes.
She likes people who like calm classical music. Is that something you've been playing for her?
I don't know. I don't know what they're doing, but I'll write it down.
Oh, she said the other thing is that she was listening to us about the elephants. And she thinks that one of the things that we could do for the elephants is to pet them softly, but not where they've been beaten, because that's scary and brings up old trauma.
Oh, okay.
And what's really interesting about that is like sometimes the animals will offer like suggestions for others, but really it's like a suggestion for themselves.
Is that true for her too? Because I have a feeling she's been traumatized.
Yeah. So let's ask her. That's for her too. I've had a lot of being held down by feet, sort of by my hips.
Ooh.
And you know choke chain jerks, I've had a lot of those. I had pepper sprayed in my mouth. The pepper sprayed in their mouth is like a common sort of for like dogs that are really mouthy. Sometimes people spray pepper spray in their mouth, or maybe and what's hard about that too is when they're young and they're mouthy, they don't always like make the connection that it's an actual like disciplining for being mouthy. The best thing to do to teach dogs about not being mouthy is to get them playing with other dogs, because other dogs are the best teachers at that.
Could you ask her if she can handle being around other dogs, because she hasn't been where she is, or cats?
Oh, okay. She says that she really wants to, but every time she thinks about it, she feels a fear inside of her that makes her feel really hot inside.
Both dogs and cats?
Cats sort of look like rodents. So, mm-hmm. She seems, though, like she has the temperament that she could be trained or to be guided into being comfortable with all these animals. Because she seems like she's really sweet and aware.
Very sweet.
You know, like she can like consciously say, you know, some man held me down and they sprayed things in my mouth. Where some dogs, when they've had a lot of trauma, they can't even kind of like pinpoint like what was cruel and what's not, because they're still in a state of shock.
Okay.
So it's actually a really good thing.
Great. Laura, thank you so much. I really want to give my contact information to someone so you can have it, and also the PETA contact.
Oh,
okay,
great.
If you want to, if you just want to hold the line, I'll get your info.
I'll be happy to. Thank you again very much.
Okay, hold on,
thank you, Allison.
Thank you, Laura.
Mm-hmm. Now I think we got someone you know from Ojai on the line.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, put them on.
Katie?
Laura, this is Katie Van Horn, OSHA's
mommy. Oh, hey. Hi, Katie. How are you doing?
Good, thanks. Go ahead.
Go ahead. What were you going to say?
I'm going to be taking care of my daughter, Morgan's, and my son-in-law, Bill's wonderful black Labrador.
Oh, okay.
For about 3 weeks. And he's just this love dog. He's a lean, tall lab, and good as gold. He's just heaven, Laura. And the one thing that I want to know is how I can make his visit in Ojai the best. And the other aspect, and I know that he gets a little sensitive to heat, so I want to know best things to do for him for heat.
For heat. Okay. And so when is he coming?
Well, I'm going to see them this weekend up in the up by Sacramento and bring him home this Sunday.
Okay. So one of the things that we want, what's his name again?
His name is Jasper.
Oh, Jasper, we didn't say. So one of the things that is important when we want to tell an animal about like either their people going away or a trip that you're taking is that like when I contact him now, I'm going to tell him that that you're going to arrive and that you're going to stay for a few days, and then you're going to tell him on the day that you're going to be traveling. And what you want to do is when you tell him about where he's going to be or that his people are going to go away, you can say, and you want to picture it in your head, and I'm going to send it out to him now, too, why I tell all of you. You want to picture it in your head how many days his people are going to be gone. And you can picture them packing their bags and leaving the house. And so the way you picture the days is you picture the sun rising and then setting. So it's like the daylight and then nighttime, and then daylight, and then nighttime, and then daylight, and then nighttime. And you want to be really, really clear on exactly how many days that is. Because sometimes I ask people and they're like, oh, maybe it's 7 nights. I'm not sure. Maybe it's 6. You have to – the animals know about time. They definitely know about time.
So I do daylight, nighttime, those many times.
Yeah, those many times, right? So
okay.
So if it's 3 – and so with animals who are used to being talked to, I'll do like a week because they have the idea of like a week because people usually have like a type of routine. And you can like think of like a week and then you can kind of block it in your head. Like I like to put like kind of 2 bars around it in your head and then multiply that by 3. Like sort of like picturing those old math things like when you were learning math when you were in grade school. You know, you kind of want to picture that. And then
he's very used to being talked to. Yeah,
and then while his people are gone, at nighttime or in the day, whenever they have a quiet moment, if they think about him and tell him about, like, the kind of trip they're having, he will get it. And the other thing is we can also tell him, but he doesn't necessarily have to do this in this case because you're so attentive to them, but for when you're leaving your animal with somebody like a doggy daycare or a pet sitter you don't know very well, if you tell your animal that the best time to contact you is in the middle of the night if something's wrong, what will happen is your animal will tell you that something's wrong in the middle of the night, and then you'll wake up sort of like, uh-oh, it's like I better call home and figure out what's going on. I keep thinking about him, and I have a weird feeling. So that's something that the listeners can do to their pets when they go away. So let me get in touch with Jasper and tell him about this trip and then ask him also about the heat.
Yeah, I'll be there very brief. I'm going to be there for I'm going to see them on Saturday and be there Saturday night and then return on Sunday, I think.
Okay, so the day after you get there. Okay.
Yeah.
I've heard, and they've been telling me already. The only thing that I'm confused about is where are they going? Like, where are they going?
They're going to Peru. They're going to climb Machu Picchu.
Oh, fun. Okay.
Yeah.
When I go home with Katie, can we climb a mountain too?
Tell him yeah.
Okay. He says that you're really good and that you pay a lot of attention to his food. Is that true?
Yeah. Well, he's also remembering Osa.
He is. Oh.
Is he, do you think?
About Osa's food that she used to get?
Because he paid a lot of attention to Osa's pranks.
Oh.
Osa's food pranks.
Right. Okay, let's ask him about the heat, what he can do, because here in Ojai it gets hot, it gets over 100.
Yeah.
So. I like cool air blowing right at me.
Okay.
And I like cool washcloths on me. It's like getting a cool washcloth and throwing it on him. Do they ever do that?
Yeah. That's very cool. I don't know. What a cutie.
And I like to have my feet in water. Does he like to swim?
Okay. He loves to swim.
Aww. He says, tell my people it's okay. I'll have fun. That's so nice. That's so nice that he can say that. You know, that it's so important that that when you go away that your animals go to a place where you feel safe.
Yeah.
And where they feel safe
so
and loved and they can have fun. Yeah. Well, thanks, Katie. Thanks for calling in.
Oh, thank you so much for your help, sweetie.
Yeah, keep me posted.
Okay, I'll see you soon.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
You know, the other thing I want to tell listeners is, like, don't board your animals. When you go away, see if you can find another alternative to boarding your animals at the vet's office. A lot of people do that. And even though the vet's office might be like, love your pet and you know that they're safe and they'll take really good care of them, it's really stressful at the vet's office because even if the sick animals are not in the same kennel area, the whole energy of it, they know everything that's going on, so they know that animals are getting euthanized, they know that animals are in trauma because they're injured, they know animals are really right. sick and that there's contagious diseases going around. And so it's really not a great place to have your pet when you travel. It's better to get a pet
right.
sitter. Like, oh, there's these really cool, like, doggy daycares and, you know, boarding facilities
nowadays.
Yeah, like
nowadays. Wagville.
Yeah, like
Wagville by my house.
Yeah, tell everyone what Wagville is like.
Wagville is a daycare and boarding facility in Los Angeles near my house. It's in the northeast part of Los Angeles. And they have a big facility where they have small dog area and big dog area. They have webcams. They have, you know, you can schedule everything from, like, massage and baths and, you know, all kinds of awesome treatments for your pet, as well as, like, they have specialized sleeping areas. So if you want your pet to sleep with a human, they have bedrooms where the caretakers stay, and you can have your pet sleep with them if they're used to sleeping with the humans in the bed and stuff like that. So they're very accommodating.
That is so cool. That is
yeah.
so cool.
It's like, they're so sweet, too. And when Ventura passed away, like, they were so cute. They sent me a card with all the people who worked there, and each person wrote, like, a specialized message.
Oh, really? About Ventura?
Yeah. Yeah. It was so cute.
That is so cute.
I know. Let's take one more call before we get to our guest caller.
Okay.
Paula from New Mexico, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you today?
Hi, Paula. Thanks for calling in.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for having the show. My gosh.
So, tell us, who would you like us to talk to today?
Well, I'm going to try to get through this without crying, okay? And
okay.
I do have a cold, so I'm not already crying, okay? Just so we're clear. I had to let go of my dog on Monday.
Aww.
Roxy was 15 years, 5 months, and 15 days old.
Wow. And what kind of dog was Roxy?
Oh, she was the best mutt ever. She was lab and chow, and she had a black tongue, and she was all black, and she had a black curly tail, and she was just really, she was my first dog. I got her when I was 35. And I, you know, couldn't have asked for better. All that being said, I'm interested in her.
she said that that she's flown to this. She flew through the sun with hummingbirds.
Okay.
And when I got to heaven, I danced with friends.
Okay.
These friends were older than my mom and really happy. So they might be loved ones of yours that have passed away. Do you know any loved one that has passed away and liked to dance?
Well, most of my family's gone, but I don't know too much about the dancing thing. But maybe they're dancing over there. I don't know.
Or like hummingbirds even.
Right. I had two felines, two cats that passed. One was, 1998, and the other one was 2002. And she was 21, the one that I had to let go of in 02. She was 21 years old. So I kept on, you know, that was my comfort. Chelsea's going to be there waiting for you, honey. She's
yeah.
here.
Yeah. Oh, maybe
right
that's
here.
The old friends. Maybe that's the friends.
Sure.
Is there anything else you want to ask her?
Well, this may sound stupid, and I too bad. What, you're going to meet me on the street tomorrow? I don't think so. Tuesday, I got the boo-hoos because I was worried that she didn't know how much I loved her.
That's actually a common question. People ask that all the time. So let's ask her. Of course I did. She would tell me all the time and kiss me and scratch my butt.
Yeah, she likes that.
And she always pulled me close and hugged me. We were best friends.
Yeah.
And I'm going to stick by my mom for a long time.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks for calling in.
Oh, thanks for letting me. I really appreciate your time. Thank you
so
much.
Yeah, so keep an eye out for her. She'll try and send you messages. She's around.
I hope so.
Okay.
Thank you, honey.
Take care.
You too.
Thanks.
Bye.
So we have some questions here on the chat.
I noticed the 4th of July one.
Yeah, there was a 4th of July one about what we can do for 4th of July. And that's a good question. And what's really important is to explain to your animals what 4th of July is and what those bangs are. And so how you can do that is, I like to tell the pets that do you know every year, and then kind of picture every year in July, we have the whole neighborhood, or the neighborhood has lots of noises, and there's lots of crackling, and kind of picture and kind of imagine all those sounds. And what that is grown-ups and kids playing games. That's a game. And then you can explain to them that they actually make bright things in the sky, and you can kind of picture all that they see in the sky, and say that people love to go out and watch that. And I know that it hurts your ears, and you can kind of picture it hurting their ears. And I know that it's scary, and then picture them scared, but you can be confident and you can be brave because you're safe inside the house. And then what you really should do is lock all your animals inside, even dogs that are outside dogs that normally never run away. You want to see if you can really contain them, contain the fence, or put them in the garage, or put them in the house. And bring in all, my cats are inside-outside cats. I bring all my cats in early just because I think it's safer, and because, kids are running by with streamers and stuff. So just tell them, and then turn on the classical music. And you want to, whenever you play classical music for your animals, you want to play the light classical. You don't want it to be really dramatic because that can be scary to them too.
Yeah, like some cymbal crashes.
Yeah, right.
Timpani drums and yeah.
Right, but just the main thing of just explaining that it's a really fun thing for humans. I mean, that's really and that people love 4th of July, and that it's, you're really safe inside the house. So
yeah.
Just really explain it like they're a child.
And is
I
it
used
better
to take my dog.
To...
Go ahead.
Sorry.
Okay.
Is it better to, take your pets if you have a daycare or boarding area that's away from a lot of sound, a noise? Like, is it better to put them there rather than keep them in your home where there is a lot of fireworks?
That is a great idea. Yes. If there's a lot of fireworks and your dog gets really stressed out, or your animal gets really stressed out, and you know of a safe place away from those noises, yeah, take them to there.
Okay. Okay.
You know, my old dog and Stormy, my ex-boyfriend had a boat, and every 4th of July, we would load the dogs up in the car and go right underneath the fireworks in the boat. And the dogs are fine. You know, as long
wow.
as you explain it to them. And I would put cotton there in their ear so it wouldn't be that bad, but they were fine.
Yeah, and what I started doing with Ventura is, every time there was fireworks or a loud noise, I always pet him or give him a treat after he does his calming signal, which is the, the shaking or the licking or the blinking of the eyes and all that stuff. And that really, changed his fear completely.
Oh, so good to remind people of that. Yeah, to praise for the calming signals.
Yeah.
Licking, yawning, looking away, sitting down, lying down, shaking, not the fear shake, the shaking off a lot of stress or excitement. Yeah, that's great. And also those thunder shirts are amazing. You can get them online. They're called thunder shirts, and they keep the dog really snug, and it gives the dog awareness of their body. Because, when you get so fearful, you're sort of outside yourself.
Yeah.
So it keeps them kind of contained. And if you don't have something like that, you can just take a T-shirt of yours and wrap it around it and tie it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they sell those at Wagville, actually. Those.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah, it's good for all types of fear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Ventura always liked wearing stuff, so maybe that's why, too. Maybe it made him feel inside more with his body.
Oh, maybe. He was pretty confident, though, too. And stroking of the ears, there's over 500 acupressure points in the ear, so when you stroke their ears, it can help calm them down.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, we got Kathy on the line from Journeys End Ranch Animal Sanctuary. Kathy, are you there?
Hi, Laura. Nice to meet you. Thank you very
Kathy.
Much.
Oh, Kathy, thanks for coming on today.
Well, this sounds like fun, so thank you.
Yeah. So, Kathy, you have quite the story. Tell us about your organization and how it all began.
Well, I'm 57. I grew up in New York City and was dragging stray kittens and puppies home since I was a little kid. And I was a veterinary technician for years, and most of my own dogs and cats were always rescues. I didn't buy them from breeders, or definitely not from pet shops. But as 17 years ago, I became disabled with multiple chemical sensitivities because I had Lyme disease all my life that was undiagnosed for 30 years. And that just caused me to have to live a very isolated life where I have to avoid people and everything else. And I just basically started dedicating myself to taking in as many homeless and unwanted, physically and mentally challenged animals as I could. And my mom passed away in 2000, and I bought this 37 acres here in northern Arizona a year later. And I built a small house here and moved here in 2002. And that's when I really, decided to really dedicate all of my energy and time to rescue. After accumulating a quite amount of debt in doing so, I finally just sold a piece of property that'll help me pay off the old rescue debt. But I realized 2 years ago that I would have to think about donations and going nonprofit, and so I went nonprofit, and then a year and a half ago got our 501c3. So we're an official.
Congratulations.
Yeah, tax-exempt organization, and it's overwhelming because there isn't a day that goes by that I don't get a phone call to take a dog, a cat, a horse, or something, and you just have to do as much as you can, but, I notice in all the networking and everything I do and the time I spend on Facebook that a lot of people get into trouble when they take on more than they can handle, and you have to be careful not to do that, too.
That's
so.
True. And is it true that are you the only one that takes care of all the animals there?
Yeah, I'm 20 miles out of town, and I do everything myself, including hoof trims on the. We have 7 Mustangs, 2 burros, a ram, a Barbados ram, a pot-bellied pig that I've had for 11 years that ran away from an abusive home and was at my doorstep one day.
I read about Wilbur. I think that is so neat.
Yes, I think they know when you have, like, the neon light out or something.
I was thinking maybe
Wilbur,
we could ask.
Wilbur's kind of a senior citizen pig now, but he's an interesting, ornery little guy. And and then I've got 10 resident dogs that are permanent residents. And in the past few months, I've never been one to give dogs a dog away. I mean, usually a dog comes through my door and it's there for life. But a few months ago, I thought, well, if I could take in one foster dog at a time, once in a while from the local shelter or from anywhere else and find it a home, then that's just one more animal I can save. So I've got our 10 resident dogs now and then one little foster dog here.
Oh, nice. And so, Kathy, tell us your website again and how to spell it and everything.
I just named this property Journeys End Ranch when I moved here because I vowed that I was never going to move again in my life.
Yeah.
So I figured it's the end of the journey for me. And then our website is jersanctuary.org. It's our third website. I got rid of the first two that I had. So it's pretty simple. It's JER for Journeys End Ranch Sanctuary.org.
Yeah,
and
you can find that on
all the animals have their own page on the website, and there's a lot of information there. I'm also hugely into holistic care and, veterinary care and nutrition and everything else for animals, and there's a lot of information on the website in that respect.
Oh, good. And you do consultations about that too, right?
Yeah, I do. I try to, usually the idea was to do consultations in exchange for a donation, but unfortunately a lot of, most of the people I run into are, you know, they're just so broke that they don't have it, so most of my consultations end up being for free, but I try to help.
And maybe that will change. That's going to change.
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, the bottom line is, at this point, the sanctuary has to support itself. The past 2 months, we've done very well, but, you know, it's touch and go, and you never know, and it's hard work. Most of our donors are people that know me from the Internet. I find that there's a lot of distrust out there, and probably for good reason, so once people see that you're networking and all the work that you do, you know, day after day, then they trust you, and they're more prone to want to donate
to
your organization.
Yeah, I've heard great things about you, great things. So Kathy, tell us, we have you have a dog named Carson, right, that you'd like to talk to today?
Oh, I'd love to. Carson's the love of my life, and he's kind of a star on Facebook. I had insomnia about a year and a month ago and got on the computer at midnight, and there was the most pathetic-looking picture of a dog at the Carson shelter in Los Angeles. And he was skinny, and half his hair was missing, and he was standing there just looking really dejected up against a brick wall. And there were at least 85 comments. Everybody felt sorry for this poor, pathetic-looking old dog, but nobody wanted to take him. And after reading through the comments and everything, I finally said, okay, you know, somebody would have to transport him here. We'd have to get enough collected to do lab work, and, you know, probably need about $400 just to get him, figure out what he's got going on and get him here. But I said, I will take him. And next thing I knew, a few days later, Carson was here. And he had a lot more problems than anybody thought. He was very emaciated, which didn't show in the picture. Low thyroid. After a while, his adrenals also crashed. So he's on thyroid and adrenal hormones. And because he apparently was abused in his past, he would come after me for at least the first 6 months. If you did anything that frightened him or tried to restrain him, he would bite. And unfortunately, with his seborrhea and his skin, he had fungal and bacterial skin problems, I had to bathe him every week for the first 4 months. So that I really learned how to be fast and how to deal with him without forcing him, because he's a 60-pound dog now, and you have to cajole him into anything that you do. But now that he's feeling healthier, he's really turned into a really lovable, wonderful, loyal dog.
Oh, great. So let's talk to him, because
he was about 9 when he came here, and we'd love to know what his past was about.
So he says, I've already been talking to him a little bit, he says he came from feeling total neglect to feeling amazing. He says, I feel so blessed. The energy of this place is soothing on my skin. I don't bite anymore. I used to bite because people used to pour things on me. It almost looks like some type of bleach or chemical.
He actually has a condition called acanthosis nigricans, which is usually hormonally caused. He's still half naked. Where he does have hair, the hair came in well, but a lot of his skin is just naked and black.
I wonder if somebody, in
good intentions, was pouring something on him trying to cure his skin ailments or something.
Maybe, because he says that he thinks that he has the skin irritation because somebody was putting stuff on him. But let me tell him that it might be because of the fungus or the mites.
Yeah, and you know, and he's got no, I mean, his fungus and bacterial infections are gone now. All he gets is an occasional, you know, regular soapy bath, and that's all.
Yeah, no, he says that no, they would grab him by the collar and pour things on him.
Well,
and then they threw me out of the car.
I did not tell you so, but he was, you could not touch him by his collar until recently. I now can lead him by his collar, but for at least the first 10 months, if you even reached out to take him by the collar, he would snap. So that makes a lot of sense.
He's saying, I'm learning to trust.
Well, that I can see, I'm glad.
He wants to know if he's going to stay there.
Absolutely.
That's his home?
This is his home forever and ever.
will I get to sleep on a cool bed? So you probably have stuff for him. So he probably wants something like that.
It's a tiny house, and it's kind of wall-to-wall dog cots. the cots are, you know, they're off the ground, so they're kind of cool. But I also have bare floors, and lately he's just choosing to be on the bare floor most of the time. Which it's a slab, so it is cool because the coolness from the earth underneath comes up through the slab.
Yeah. Well, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. And I'm going to be posting your website on my website and pictures of Carson, and so people can go there and find out about how to send you a donation.
That would be fantastic. I thank you, Laura. It's been a lot of fun.
Okay, Kathy, you take care.
Thanks, Kathy.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
So that's Kathy from the Journeys End Ranch Animal Sanctuary. The website, again, is www.gersanctuary.org. That's gersanctuary.org. And her information, as well as pictures of Carson, will be on your website, right, Laura? ThePetPsychic.com?
That's right. That's correct.
Cool.
Yeah.
Carson looks really cute. I think it said he was a little bit of a Shar-Pei mix.
Yeah.
In the story I read.
Yeah, he kind of looks like a little coyote.
Yeah, he's like a coyote Shar-Pei.
A little bit. He's so cute.
He's really, really cute.
He feels so blessed. He just feels like the whole energy around that place is so caring, and mm-hmm. he feels so lucky to be there and so grateful. Just so nice that it's a safe place for him to forgive, you know, what humans have done to him.
I know. Wow.
Yeah. Thank God for Kathy.
Yeah, I can't. What she does is amazing, and I love his name because Carson from the Carson Shelter. I guess I'm assuming that's where it comes from.
Right. Yeah.
Which is really cute.
Yeah.
Well, let's remind people again, just because it's July 4th. About what they need to do for how to, you know, communicate with their pets and everything about what's going to be going on.
So people just want to think about explaining to their pets about 4th of July and what exactly fireworks are. And so you want to explain to them about, say, you know, I know that there are these loud noises. This happens every year. And there are noises, you know, all over the house or all over the neighborhood. And people travel to one location and they watch these spectacular fireworks go off and kind of picture this all in your head. And you can say, I know it hurts your ears and I know it's scary, and picture them, it hurting their ears and them scared. But you can feel confident and you are 100% safe in the house, and I'm going to close all the windows, turn on the air conditioning and leave the music on so you don't have to hear it very much. And just know that no matter if you hear it close to the house, you are safe in the house. And then you can tell them, if you're going out to enjoy the fireworks, I'm going to go out and enjoy the fireworks, and I'll show them to you in my head. And when you're out watching the fireworks, if you picture the fireworks, you can send them home to your animal, and they can see everything that you're seeing. It might be really neat to do that.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Like an email.
Yeah, right. Telepathy email. And
yeah.
And also really keep your animals locked and make sure they're locked in the house, because even some of the most confident animals sometimes get out of their yards and gets lost. More animals are lost on 4th of July than any other day. So
wow.
Really important to keep them safe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does Stormy have anything to say about this or anything else?
Yeah, well, I asked Stormy if there's anything he wanted to say to the world, and he was, like, still thinking about these elephants. And he's like, I just think that it's so important that we do something for these elephants, that they're mm-hmm. such big, gentle creatures, and people are harming them, and we need to help them. And he says that he can kind of picture them. He kind of can feel them thinking about us and feel them. And I think that's important for all the people who are in rescue, that these animals, even if it doesn't feel like you're making an impact on them, they know you're out there and you're trying to help them. And I think that helps them sort of survive their situation, knowing that people are sending them love. And so just when you are talking about the animals and all these drastic things that are happening to them or tragic things that are happening, if you kind of send them love at the same time, then, you know, they'll feel that love and they'll kind of be empowered. We don't want them to only think that we're upset for them, you know, because then they'll feel sadness.
Yeah.
So really just send them compassion and love.
Yeah.
And Stormy, what do you want to say about about 4th of July? Do you want to say anything about fireworks? Yeah, you know, they hurt my ears, but people do strange things. Stormy, remember when you used to go watch them with me? Didn't you think they were beautiful? Oh, he said when he first saw them, he thought, look at those birds. Are they exploding? When did you figure out that they weren't exploding and they weren't birds? Oh, I just sort of figured it out because you look so excited. Like, I wouldn't be excited if birds were exploding.
Oh, gosh. The words of wisdom by Storm King.
So cute. Oh, God, how sad I must have been, though, when he was thinking that.
I know.
That must have been scary.
I know. Like, you know what I like about Stormy? Like, he's so, I don't know. He's just so cool. Like, he just plays it cool all the time.
He does.
You know what I mean? Like, he's just like, oh, yeah, whatever, you know.
These silly humans watching fireworks. He's like, get to work and help the elephants.
Well, I'm glad you got
this. We're laughing about you. You're not even smiling. Why aren't you smiling? I'm smiling inside. Do I have to move my mouth?
You see? He's just so... Just so playing it cool.
Stormy, see, I was so good. She made sure you got on the radio today. She made sure, because he was so upset the first radio show he wasn't on.
I know. I think we should have this words of wisdom at the end of the show every week by Storm King.
Yeah, by Storm King or some of the other animals. Because you'll start to get jealous.
Yeah, remind our listeners what animals you have at home.
Okay, I have Stormy, who's a 12-year young Australian Shepherd, and I have Luca, who's a 7-month-old poodle, and then I have Makia, who is, I think she's 16 years old, and she's all white, and she's a cat, and she loves to, like, meditate and climb, and then I have Serafina, who's all gray with green eyes, and I found her at an old ranch I lived, and she likes to run around the yard. She's very speedy, and she likes to kind of pretend to chase birds, but not chase birds because this is a no-kill zone. And then I have Joey Joe, who is my oldest kitty. He's 18. He's gray and white, and he's my, like, hyperthyroidism. He's on herbs for hyperthyroidism, and he's, like, just really wise and cool. And he used to, I was telling someone today that I used to live on a lake, and he used to go canoeing with me.
Oh, my gosh, that's cool.
Yeah, he's really neat. And then I have Bean, who's my my bunny, and I found her in front of the hair factory in town, the hair salon. I think it's really funny. But she was just hopping in the middle of the street one day, and all these wild bunnies were like, oh, my God, help her, because they were scared that she was going to, like, run in the road because it's, like, a busy road.
Yeah.
So I found...
Yeah, because she's, like, a domesticated bunny.
Yeah, she's
right?
Totally domesticated. I think somebody was breeding them for meat, and she got out of the cage because, nobody claimed her, and it was, like, right in the middle of town. And I kind of saw evidence of that, but she's great. She's, like, full of fun, and she's really wise. And her whole thing is, like, I sent her away to live with a friend of mine for a year because I was going to find her another home. Mm-hmm. And so her whole thing now is about, like, forgiving me, even though it's been, like, 4 or 5 years since I've had her back.
I think this is all the time we have, actually. We're running out.
Yeah.
But thanks for listening, everyone.
Yeah, everyone, thanks for listening. Come check out my website at thepetpsychic.com.